be able to. I don't think that's mine. Two right there. Y'all have to listen real close tonight, because I may not be able to shout it too loud. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we were at graduation last Friday night for my beautiful, dear, lovely wife, who who graduated from college last Friday night, 2 weeks ago, I guess it's been, whatever. And the speaker that night got up to speak, and he was like the chancellor of the Alabama college system or something like that. Big dude, you know, big dude in the college world there. And he asked, I believe it was the janitor or somebody before the service, if there was anything he needed to know or any words of wisdom that the gentleman can give him. And so he looked at him and said, "Brother, just remember the five B's? I'm forgetting it. Is it five? It's five B's. Thank you. I was reminded tonight too." He said, "Just remember the five B's." And he looked at him and said, "Really? What is that?" Be brief, brother. A little tongue-tied there. Be brief, brother, be brief. And I had somebody, I'm not going to call no names, but had somebody that was at the graduation, so who was there, and said, "Brother, remember the five B's now." Amen. I'm really not going to hold you long tonight. I don't think. But I am burdened with a word from God tonight. And I know I get in trouble for saying this, but I got to say it. I'm really a nobody in the kingdom of God, because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And sometimes, and I've said this before, but sometimes a preacher has a sermon. And sometimes I've preached sermons. But tonight, I don't feel like this is a sermon tonight. And if you came tonight to hear a real beautiful sermon full of beautiful words and just everything flowing like it should, you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you came tonight because your heart is open and you're hungry for something from God, then you're in the right place tonight. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and love Him one more time? Hallelujah, Jesus. Mighty God, let your word go forth in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the awesome power of God, the awesome responsibility to stand behind this pulpit, be able to preach the word of God and be able to reflect what our pastor teaches in this church. And I don't take it lightly. I don't take preaching lightly. I don't take it lightly tonight. And I'm going to just pour my heart out to you, if I can do that. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And we're going to read about 8 verses. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, I want to say that I am happy and privileged, feel privileged to be a part of this church and to be a part of what God is doing in Birmingham, Alabama, and to be able to experience the things that we have experienced here and what God's going to do for us even yet. Somebody said it the other night, greater works, I believe it was you, Brother Patrick, greater works than these shall you do. And we haven't really touched the surface, not even the surface, of what God wants to do in Birmingham. Amen. I really do believe that tonight. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and he began to teach by the sea, and there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And in verse number 8, and other fell on good ground. Somebody say good ground. Did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Would you lift your hands just one more time if I could ask you to do it? And would you pray just one more time? If you'll open up your hearts for just a few minutes, just a little while. I promise I won't hold you long. Pray the blessings of God and the anointing of God on the word tonight. Deliver us, Jesus, the word of God that you want us to have in this house. God, I know I'm a nobody in the kingdom of God, save the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost. Do a work in this house tonight, deeper, God, than even we can imagine, Lord Jesus. Touch hearts, God, greater than we could ever, ever, ever imagine. We give you praise tonight. We give you thanks tonight. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you give the Lord a good hand of praise right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You could be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. Hallelujah. Forgive me for the interruptions in coughing. I'll try to limit those as much as I can. I read a parable to you tonight, and this parable is a very well-known parable to us. We've heard it taught and preached numerous times and in numerous ways. And we also find the same parable in two other Gospels. So I see an importance that God placed it there in the Word like He did. He wants us to look at it and to receive something out of it. He tells of a sower that went out to sow. And as he sowed, the Bible said that the seed fell on some ground. And in this text of Scripture, we find four types of ground that this seed fell on. Number one, the kind of ground, the first kind of ground that it fell on was, the Bible said, wayside. It wasn't really part of the regular planting spot. It fell on the wayside. And the Bible said the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And then it said that seed, some seed, as the sower was sowing, it fell on stony ground. And the Bible said that it did not have much earth. And when it sprang up, it had no depth and had no root, and it withered away. Luke said it like this: it fell upon a rock and it withered away because it lacked moisture. The third type of ground that he talks about, the seed falling on, was a ground that was full of thorns. And the thorns grew and it choked out that which was planted. And it choked it, and it yielded no fruit, or it bore no fruit. But then the Bible said that the seed fell on good ground. And somebody say that again with me: good ground. The seed fell on good ground, and it sprang up and yielded much fruit and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And I know tonight, and we've heard this preached on and taught on, and most of the time this setting of Scripture is taught and preached in a setting where it is demonstrating to us our work out in the world, how we go out and we plant seed, and how that some seed falls on the wayside, and how some hearts are stony, and some hearts have, you know, the seeds planted and it grows up fast, but the thorns, they choke it away. And I understand that most of the time we're talking about this setting of Scripture, we're talking about us going out and trying to plant seed in this world. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And for whatever reason, these folks are not prepared to receive the word. And for whatever reason, they're not ready to receive what God wants them to have. And maybe there's things in their life that they don't want to give up yet, and whatever ground that they find themselves on. But thank God there are some people. Thank God there are some people that are hungry, some people that are ready, some people that you plant the seed and it grows and it serves the purpose that it was planted for. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And some of these lives are they're hard and they're stony, and maybe they lack understanding. For whatever reason, you know, you teach Bible study, Brother Cliff, and not everybody comes in. Not everybody receives the word, and not everybody is ready for what God wants for them. Don't get quiet on me now. I want you to help me tonight. Maybe there's too much of a love for this world, and they don't have a hunger for God enough. I don't know the reasons, but they're there, and the Bible talks about it, and we've heard it preached. Then we find that sinner that the word is planted in, and immediately it springs up and it grows, and they become a productive child of God. And that gives you hope in the kingdom of God, and lets you know that there are still people out there that are hungry for the things of God. Can you say amen? Amen. That one that God delivers from alcohol, or God delivers from drugs, or God delivers from whatever, amen, is going on in their life. And it lets you know that God is still in the saving business, and there's still people hungry for God, and there's still those that are ready to receive the seed of the word of God that's sown. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me a few days ago right up here. I was walking right up here in the front of the church, and we had some folks in the front that were praying for the Holy Ghost. And I looked at them, and you saw them as you know, you wonder what kind of ground are they, and what's going to happen? How's the word going to affect them? But this is not what I want to preach about. This is not what I want to talk about. I don't necessarily want to talk about us planting the seed out into the world and seeing where it's going to come up. Because, you know, we need to make sure that we plant the seed. Can somebody say amen? But the Holy Ghost spoke to me up here that night, and it said, you cannot give anybody the Holy Ghost. You cannot heal anybody. You cannot deliver anybody. You cannot set anybody free. Amen. He said, but it's me. I'm the one that delivers. I'm the one that sets free. I'm the one that pours out the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that delivers. Hallelujah. And it's not for you to get frustrated when they don't come. It's not for you to get discouraged when they're not coming. Hallelujah. But this is what he said, and this is still not what I want to preach about, but I want to throw this in here. He said, but your job is to plant, and your job is to water, and it's my job to give the increase. And immediately the scripture came to my mind where Paul said, Apollos plants and I water, but God gives the increase. And then when you're praying and when you're involved in the things of God, amen, the Holy Ghost said, I need some planters and I need some waterers. Hallelujah. Amen. That means when somebody's up here praying, I need somebody planting and I need somebody watering. I need somebody cultivating to where I can do what I'm supposed to do. He said, I'm the only one that can do it. And when you get that revelation to know that you can't give people the Holy Ghost, you can't deliver people. You know, there's no amount of back rubbing and, you know, and whatever else has been done in Pentecost that doesn't give nobody the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I had a story my mother-in-law said that just a few weeks ago. My wife was telling me she visited a church, another church down there where she lives. And after the altar service, you know, she did what like we do, you know. We have an altar service, Brother Corey. We're the first ones in the altar. Well, down there, if you're the first one in the altar, they think you backslid or think you don't have the Holy Ghost. And they immediately come up and began to pray with her. And she said, it was horrible because they were jerking her and pulling her and pushing her and jerking her, pulling her and pulling her. And finally, she just had enough and just got upset, Holy Ghost upset, I guess, and turned around and sat down. You can't deliver nobody. You can't do it. You have to let God do it. That's not what I want to preach about. Amen tonight. But this is my message. Hallelujah. Well, I lost my place. Lift your hands and love him one more time. I told you I wasn't perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a good God. Brother Cliff, where's he at? I was going to tell him. This is what I was going to say. Don't stop giving Bible studies. Hallelujah. Don't stop planting the seed. Don't stop watering. Don't stop telling somebody the story. Don't stop reaching for somebody. Don't stop doing what you're doing in the kingdom of God. That's why we teach Bible studies. That's why we pray, Brother. You. Ted. That's why we enter into the church house with thanksgiving and with praise and with a worship on our heart. That's why we don't come in with our lip dragging the ground with the mully grubs, amen, wondering what the world's going to go on, because we as a church need to create an atmosphere that somebody can find God. Not that we give it to them, but that somebody can find God. In the service. That's why we do that. Amen. It's our job to plant, but God's job to water. But most often, this passage that I read to you tonight is used in referring to that and trying to reach the lost and trying to plant seed. But yesterday afternoon, as I was in prayer and study, the Lord brought this scripture to my heart. into my soul. And he said, I want you to tell this. I want you to speak this to my church and to my people. And it's in the form of a question. And it was as plain as I'm talking to you tonight. And it was for this church. It was for me. And it was for you. And this was the question. What kind of ground am I? What kind of ground am I? I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to ask him that question. What kind of ground are you? When it comes to God revealing himself in a greater light, in a greater truth, in a deeper depth of the Word of God, my question from the Holy Ghost is, what kind of ground am I? When it comes to hearing the Word and doing the Word, the question to me is, what kind of ground am I? And in Mark chapter 14, in our text tonight, the Bible talks about that sower that goes out to sow. And he said some seed falls on the wayside. Some seed falls on stony ground. And some seed falls within the thorns. And it rises up, but yet it is choked by the things of this life. It is choked by the cares of this world, the scripture said. And it doesn't produce the fruit that God really wants to produce in you. And I don't know this ahead of time. All I know is God wants me to tell somebody and ask somebody tonight, what kind of ground are you? I don't want to apply this to the world. I don't want to apply this to the sinner. I want to apply this to my church. Amen. Because you see, as you begin to plant seed in your life and as it begins to grow and it begins to come up, if you're not careful, there are things that will come in that will choke out the things that God wants to do in your life. Amen. What kind of ground am I? What kind of soil, and I'm almost through tonight, am I? I'm not a farmer. And those of you that know me will say amen to that. I didn't grow up on a farm. I didn't grow up in the country, Sister Bonnie. I grew up in the city. But I remember, Brother Derek, that my mother always had a garden in our backyard. And I remember that we always had fresh tomatoes and cucumbers and okra. And I know sometimes she would plant potatoes and squash. And I remember turnip greens. But her garden spot was never really that big, because we were in the city and we didn't have a lot of acreage and a lot of land. But it was probably not any bigger than this section of chairs right over here. But I remember every year she would pull out the tiller and she would bring it out. And I remember the first year that she bought that Troy-built rototiller. That one in the advertisement that showed the old grandma walking beside it. You know, easy to use. And because she used to use that one that, you know, did that and jarred you. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen one of those tillers? I haven't seen one since. So I really don't know what I'm talking about. Brother Corey knows what I'm talking about. But I remember she would get out there every year and she would plow that garden. And People would ask her, how do you do it? How do you grow such a beautiful garden? How do you have such an abundance of crop in such a small area? We would have tomatoes running out of our ears, and we would take them in bagfuls and take them to church and give them away and give them to neighbors because we had more than we could eat. And there was 9 of us, and we could eat. But there were more than we could take. And they would ask her, how do you make such a good garden? I don't know if she told the whole story to them. But as Paul Harvey would say, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. She worked us kids to the bone in that garden. That's how she had a beautiful garden. She would take that tiller out there and she would, at the beginning of the season, and she would start going across the garden spot, and she would tell us, now you get behind there and you pull up all the roots and you get all the grass and the weeds and the stones and the rocks, amen, because we want a good garden. And she would tell us to pull all that out, and I remember complaining because I didn't want to work in the garden. In fact, I didn't want to work at all. But I wanted to eat the tomatoes and the potatoes and the corn and the squash or whatever else she grew. And we would get out there on our knees and we would pull the weeds and we would pull the sticks and we would pull the stones. And we also, if it's hard to believe, we also had a chicken coop in the city. And I remember one year we got a letter from the city council or somebody telling us we had to get rid of our chicken coop, because it was smelling up the neighborhood. But we had a chicken coop, and we also raised rabbits. And she would tell us, she'd say, go over there to the pen and scoop up some of that stuff over there and bring it to the garden spot. And we're going to throw it in here, and we're going to fertilize it, and we're going to till it in with the ground. And the result would always be the same. We would have a beautiful garden. We would have a wonderful garden. It would have tomatoes, and it would have squash, and it would have cucumbers or whatever else she planted there. And even after the garden began to grow, even after the plants began to grow, I remember coming home from school, and she'd have us out there with a hoe, and we'd be in there hoeing between the pulling that and doing this and still cultivating and trying our best to make sure that the garden stayed fresh and good, that it would produce what she wanted it to produce. We would even put up little things and put the aluminum pie pans up to try to keep the whatever varmints out or whatever the purpose of that was. But we'd always have a good garden. But it wouldn't come easy. It took hard work. It took cultivating. It took up breaking up the ground. It took up doing something, amen, to make it happen. And God spoke this to my heart yesterday. And He said, I want to make New Life United Pentecostal Church a beautiful garden of harvest for this city. I looked at the scripture and I saw the ground where the thorns were. I saw the ground where the word was coming up in the thorns. And the Holy Ghost said, you're going to have to get out there on your hands and knees, and you're going to have to pull out some of the thorns that are there. But I want to produce a garden like you've never seen before. And I don't really know how it's going to happen, or the details. And that's not for me to say tonight, but it's just the Holy Ghost that is saying, I want to produce it in this church. I want to pull the rocks and the stones and the thorns. It's a piece of ground. And I want to ask you tonight, what kind of ground are you? There was a man by the name of Shammah. one of David's men that owned a patch of ground, the Bible said. The Bible said that the Philistines were coming to take this ground from him. And the scripture said that he rose up. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. The Bible said the Philistines came against him like a troop. There were more of them than there was of him. But the Bible said that he stood on his ground. And the Holy Ghost is saying here tonight, I know it may not seem like much to you. I know it may not seem like a whole lot to you, amen, but it's a piece of ground that God has given us. It's a piece of property. It's a piece of ground that God has given his church, and it's worth standing up for. Hallelujah. I said it's worth standing up for. I know it doesn't seem like much. Your life may not seem like much, but it's a piece of ground that is worth standing up for. Would you stand to your feet right now? I told you it wasn't going to be a flowery message or a pretty sermon. But the Holy Ghost is speaking. He said, I want to minister to my people. I want to plant the seed of revival. I want to bring forth an increase of souls greater than they have ever seen. I want to do something in their midst that I have never done before in Birmingham, Alabama. I want to do something that will blow their mind. But then he asked me the question. And I'm going to personalize it to myself. He asked me the question, can I trust you with it? Can I trust you with what I want to give to you? Is your ground ready to receive it? Can it sustain the fruit that I want you to bear? In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Fallow ground is ground that once had been tilled, but has gotten hard and now lies in waste. Needs to be broken up, made soft, before it is ready to receive what God wants to put there. The word fallow simply means left unplowed or unseeded during a growing season. Or undeveloped, but potentially useful. I believe that God is calling some of you here tonight. And I don't know who you are, but God is calling some of you here tonight to look at your ground and to ask yourself the question, what does my ground look like? How is the soil in my ground? Is it ready to receive what God wants me to have? Nothing in this world can stop. And you hear what I'm saying tonight. Nothing can stop the moving of the Holy Ghost. Nothing outside these doors. No devil. No enemy. No weapon. Nothing can stop the move of God. The Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God be for us, who can be against us? Would you lift your hands and love him one more time? With a heavy heart, I stand before you tonight. Hear the word of the Lord. With a burden in my soul, I stand before you tonight. Hear the word of the Lord. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, we had a moving of the Holy Ghost in this house. Pastor Sutton asked several, what's the Holy Ghost saying? And it was as plain as anything. And if you remember what I said, God wants to use this church as a leader. I really believe that. God wants to use this church as a leader in worship, a leader in praise, a leader in this district, a leader amongst the people of God. I really believe that. It's been prophesied, I know, the 10 years we've been here, Brother Corey, of things that God wants to do right here. But the challenge of the Holy Ghost that night was, it's not going to happen by itself. And the challenge to me from the Holy Ghost, Brother Warren, was, am I ready to pay the price to make it happen? Am I ready to make sure that my ground is the way it should be? To receive what God wants me to have. What the world can't do. And I'm fixing to close this. What the weapons of the world can't do. What the enemy can't do. In Israel of old, there was a man by the name of Balak, a king that wanted to curse the people of God. So he hired a prophet and he said, I want you to curse the people of God. And he told Balaam to do thus and so. The Bible said that Balaam said, how can I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? And every time the Bible said that Balaam opened his mouth to curse, Sister Gail, only blessings came out. Because you can't curse what God has blessed. Amen. And over and over and over again, he tried, but he couldn't. It wasn't possible. But if you take the very next chapter and you read the very next chapter, after Balaam's blessings, the Bible said that the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they began to serve their gods and they begin to serve Baal and false gods. And what the devil could not do, and what the world could not do, and what Balaam could not do to the people of God, and what outside forces could not do in their life, they did to themselves. Because their ground became cluttered. The thorns begin to choke out the power of God. I know you're quiet tonight, but the Holy Ghost is speaking. They began to embrace the things that God said, leave alone and don't touch. What kind of ground am I? Would you come and let's just have a time of prayer around the altar tonight. Brother Sutton, Sunday night, used an example. He said, without resistance, who was that up here? Brother Julius, you remember he was laying out on the altar. And pastor said, without resistance, you'll never grow. And let me tell you something tonight. The Holy Ghost is saying, I love you. The Holy Ghost is saying, I want to do something in your life. But the Holy Ghost is also challenging us and saying, you got to grow. Challenge. Pressure. Would you lift your hands and love Him? Would you just begin to pray? Amen. I don't know what you need to say to God. Whatever you feel like you need to say to God. The Holy Ghost is challenging you tonight. All right. What's my ground look like, God? What's my